Our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 286. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of men whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favored of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over his people justly, ruined in the fear of God, is like a light of morning, is like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. The word of God for the people of God.
Our epistle lesson this Christ the King Sunday comes from the book of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, Revelation 1, 4b through 8. And if you'd like to follow along, and I'd recommend you do, you can find that on page 230 of the New Testament of your pew Bible. Hear these words. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John 18, verses 33 through 37. A curious time of year to be reading about the crucifixion of Jesus, and yet it is the most fitting time to be thinking about this. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find it on page 106 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. Hear this, what may be for you a familiar story. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as has been said several times this morning, today is in fact Christ the King Sunday. And I don't know if it's our modern sensibilities or what, but often people refer to it instead as the Reign of Christ Sunday. But that's today either way. And if you'd listened or looked closely at the lectionary, this is one of the few times throughout the church year that all four of those seemingly disparate lessons actually have to do with the same thing. If we look at them together, they can provide for us some insight into our understanding of what that means, this being Christ the King Sunday. And as our Bible study class discovered this past Thursday night, if you read them straight through, these readings are chock full of understanding, of meaning, of theological significance. And we'd be here for several hours if we talked about them as they ought to be discussed. But I want to, this morning, just draw for you some broad strokes this morning together. Both the reading from 2 Samuel that Mark read and the entirety of Psalm 132, which you ought to take the time to read through, both of these deal directly with King David from the history of the Hebrew people. 2 Samuel 23 tells us, as Mark read, about the last words of King David just before his death. While Psalm 132 describes the longing that David had to make a permanent home for God on earth. But at the heart, both of these readings actually speak of the integrity, of the fidelity of God's promises to us throughout time. David was a king, a great king, who freely admitted that he was made great only by God's power and God's actions, not his own. In that covenant with David, God promised that as long as the people remained connected to and faithful to God, that God would always provide a wise earthly ruler, a king from the house of David. If you look at the history of the Bible, the history of modern people, the people have not always been faithful, but God remained true to God's word. Throughout the history of mankind, God has always provided a king in the lineage of David. And if you take it to its necessary conclusion, you'll discover that Jesus of Nazareth is the final and triumphant king in that lineage. God's promise has been fulfilled. Throughout the history of the Bible, we start with 2 Samuel, we go to Revelation, we come back to John. All of these have to do with David, if you will, with the kingship of Christ. That gospel lesson from John that we read allows us to listen in on the conversation between Pilate and Jesus in that time right before Jesus was crucified. If you know much about Pontius Pilate, you recognize him as the representative of the Roman emperor. So it was critically important for him to discover if, in fact, this upstart, this Jesus from Nazareth, was in fact claiming to be a king. Because if it was, if that was true, if Jesus was claiming to be king, then Pilate had every legal right to have this Jesus put to death for mounting an insurrection against the Roman Empire. And so Pilate pushes the question. But even in this time of persecution, Jesus keeps his cool. And he obviously has the upper hand. Jesus won't openly admit that he is a king, but he does tell Pilate that his kingdom is not from this world. You say that I am a king, but for this I was born, And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Well, we know that Jesus was the Messiah, the great leader that the Hebrew people have been waiting for thousands of years for His advent. And yet, Jesus was not at all what they expected. A kingdom not from this world, I'll say. Jesus didn't start a revolution with troops and chariots and blood and swords, but rather Jesus started a revolution for the kingdom of God that was based on love and compassion for all people. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And finally, that beautiful passage from the book of Revelation proclaims the kingship of Christ once and for all time. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Jesus Christ is rightfully described as the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the earth. Well, all four of these readings provide us with some impressive theology and some fancy information. But what does that all have to do with 21st century Christians like you and me? Well, I'm glad you asked. The key lies also in that reading from Revelation, where it says, if you'll remember, that Jesus freed us from our sins by His blood. And Jesus made us to be a kingdom. Jesus made us to be priests, serving His God and Father. My sisters and brothers, we ourselves are the kingdom, the true reign of Christ. We are the priests whom Jesus uses. We are the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus Christ on this earth. And we are called to testify to the truth as Christ testified to the truth. During this wonderful time of Thanksgiving and Advent, as we together await the birth of this child, this King from the house of David, let us together find ways that our very lives will testify to the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God's kingdom, the truth of Jesus as the Savior of the world. I want you to remember that everything you have and everything you are in fact gifts from God. And God loves you completely and unconditionally, unlike anyone loves you here on earth. Let us be thankful. And let our lives show who we are and whose we are as a living testimony to our discipleship. Come, King Jesus. Amen.